Well, we're here at the Christmas season again. We've done Thanksgiving, we've given our thanks, we continue to give thanks, and now we're going to celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we're going to think about that a bit today. Maybe not exactly the way we usually do, but we're going to think about that, and I hope that it prompts you to think about a lot of things concerning our Lord. I want you to remember Pastor of the Week, John Sampson, in your prayers. He's a faithful servant. So lift him up so that the Lord will help him go through the duties that he's been assigned. So let's relax a little bit, go into the Scriptures, and hear about what the Lord has for us today. Father, we're thankful for your love and your mercy, and especially your grace, Lord. Your leadership in all that we do, Lord, you've given us the handbook for success, what we call the Bible, Lord. Help us to digest it, to put it in our memories, Lord. And for us that are aging and our memories aren't as sharp as they used to be, Lord, bring it back. Bring it back when we need it so we can tell the good news of your coming, of your sacrifice, of your salvation. That was the whole purpose of your coming. And so, Lord, we celebrate that. We celebrate it in the communion, Lord, when we remember what you did. You saved us with your battered, broken body and your shed blood. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to be in the moment now, Lord. Consider what you say to us. And we'll thank you for all of it. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we can't forget another important event that happened on this day, right? December 7th, 1941. Woo. Pearl Harbor Day, right?
Amen.
It was a horrible day of destruction. But it was a necessary day of destruction. God knew that was going to happen. He allowed it to happen. He used that moment to make this nation as great as it is now. Because before that, we were reluctant to take on the leadership of the world. Our leaders didn't really want to do that. They were happy just to have a tranquil peace at home. But the Lord wanted this nation to grow and become great. He wanted it to be a nation that would proclaim Him around the world. And we did for years after that. That's kind of fallen by the wayside now. You can't hardly speak of the Lord in this country today. In fact, we don't even hardly want to celebrate Christmas the way it's intended to be celebrated. We just want to go through all the parties and the festivities and things like that, you know. Never mind about the fact that our Savior came into the world. That's really what we're celebrating. Yes, we know we don't have the exact day. We understand that. But should that keep us from celebrating the fact that God came into the world to save us? No, it shouldn't. But we need to keep our focus on that, don't we? So just like we focus on Pearl Harbor Day and remember those who gave their lives for this nation, we need to focus on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and remember how He gave His life, shed His blood for His nation, the nation of believers that are going to be in His army of the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you will take the mission seriously and continue to tell others about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 13. John chapter 3 and verse 13. This is going to be the clarion call to belief, to faith, to trust in Jesus Christ. This is God saying, this is how it's going to be done. I would even venture to say He'd tried other ways. He'd given humanity other opportunities to be in fellowship with Him. But we fumbled the ball. We couldn't handle it. So God came with the plan that we couldn't mess up as humanity as a whole, right? It can be messed up individually, but not as a whole. And so John chapter 3, starting at verse 13, says, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man." That's, of course, Jesus Christ. "Who is in heaven, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And indeed he was at Calvary on the cross. "That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting," have eternal life. There's the individual call. Whoever believes. Everybody doesn't have to believe. But those who want to be saved by Jesus, to have life with Jesus, to have eternity with Jesus, they are the ones that must believe. That's the call. "Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's what we're celebrating when we celebrate Christmas. That's the true celebration of Christmas. The coming of our Savior. Amen? Tell me, what do most people do at Christmas? What kind of activities do they do? Yell it out. Parties? What? Gifts, Christmas shopping, put up lights, eat a lot of food, have parties. Yes, all those things, right? Yes. They have their own idols, don't they? Yes. Christmas is a lot of things because there's so many different views by the people out there, right? Let me suggest this, that the people of the world do all those things because they're seeking joy. They're seeking joy. They're tired of the mundane day-to-day, I got to do this to get by stuff. They want some joy in their life. Amen? Jesus. Don't we all like to have joy in our life?
Jesus.
Absolutely. So for believers, Christmas celebrates the birth of Christ, the coming of the Lord. Christ's coming was actually God's perfect and final act. Take that in. His perfect and final act of divine, eternal forgiveness. Nothing has happened since that God said, "Oh, by the way, do this too, and I'll forgive you." No. It's only trusting in Jesus Christ. God the Son came into His created world in a physical body, bringing the only remedy for the sin of humanity. He is the way. The only way. That's what that little article in Language Arts means. T-H-E, the, means the one and only. There's not another. He is the way to salvation. Amen?
Amen?
He's the remedy for the sin of humanity, the sinless body and divine blood. The divine blood. The blood of God. That's what we're talking about. That was given for our salvation. We know this remedy as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the God-man. He is the remedy. He is the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way. Our celebration of Christmas should be the remembrance celebration of Jesus coming to buy back, buy us back, buy back His creation, Everything about it that was tainted by sin, He is buying back and has bought back with His sacrifice. Jesus came being sent by the entire Godhead. Yes, the plan of God. It encompassed the whole Godhead. And they agreed this is what needs to be done. A divine sacrifice must be given. There's nothing else that will cover everything that needs to be done to redeem humanity. And by the way, redeem creation also, not just humanity. He came at the behest of the Godhead to bring forgiveness. And with forgiveness, peace. And with peace, love. And with that all comes joy. That's where the joy comes from. It comes from the Lord. He is your forgiveness. He is your peace. He is your love. Without Him, you enjoy none of those things. Let's think for a moment about the religious word Mass. We think of that in the Latin way. The Latin language term for our English language word means dismissal. That's what Mass kind of means in the truest sense, dismissal. The Latin term is ite missa este, meaning go, send, or it is sent. Well, what is sent? The message, the meaning, the dismissal of the Word, who is Christ. He was dismissed from glory into the world, just as we are dismissed as believers, the faithful, into the world to give the message. We're imitating our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're bringing the message. The message that God saves. He loves us. He wants us to be with Him. That's the message of Christmas. And that's why the world tries to imitate love and joy and peace. Because that's what Jesus brings. That's what we remember about Him. Being sent to bring that forgiveness, peace, love, and joy to humanity. All humanity. Not just part of humanity. Not just certain ones in humanity. No, it's available to all humanity. Because God is love. How could love leave anybody out? I don't think it could and have a clear conscience. And I think God is bigger than that. The religious word Mass is the Latin language term for dismissal, as I said, and it means being sent, and it's also used to speak of a gathering about God. It's often used that way. If somebody said to you, I'm going to Mass, what would you think? Well, first of all, you would identify their religion, and second, or their denomination, and secondly, you would know they were talking about going to church. We would know that immediately by the word. And so they are going to church. And the hope is that they will get a message there. Well, what would be the message? It should be that Jesus, the Savior, has come and given Himself for our redemption. And we need to go out and give that message to everybody we meet. That's our mission. We're imitating Him. Amen? Amen? And so we should live out the example that Jesus Christ gave us. Amen. Go and share the love God has for everybody who's lost. Lost in the sense that they don't have redemption through Jesus Christ. That's our mission, imitating Jesus. He wants us to draw others into the following. Yes, we follow Jesus Christ. That's what we should be doing. Amen. And I know that we try as best we can to do it. But we still have this body that we have to deal with. Amen? Amen. And it pretty much has a mind of its own. And we have to fight against that by using the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, the truth of the salvation of Jesus, His shed blood, all those things we can bring to our remembrance and use them to help us be what we should be in this world. Amen?
Amen.
God's forgiveness, to draw humanity to God by following Christ's example. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus is the truest, purest, living example of God's forgiveness, God's peace, God's love, and God's joy. I have a picture in my office. It's a pretty good sized picture. And it's Jesus. He's got his head thrown back. His mouth is open. He is happy as he can be. I love that picture. But some people thought it was inappropriate. It didn't really truly represent Jesus. Well, why not? It's the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what that picture reminds me of. The joy of the Lord. If I'm going to imitate all the hard work of going out and witnessing, I need to imitate the joy of the Lord as well. I need to have that balance.
Yes.
Or pretty soon I'm going to be giving up. Right? He doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to know His joy so we'll continue on with the mission that He's given us. Right? This is why the born again, saved by faith, followers of Christ, celebrate. We celebrate because our Savior has come and we've been redeemed and we can give that message to others and we can have joy in all of that. Go ahead, have the joy. It won't cost anything extra. It's included in the whole package. And we have it because Jesus has come into the world. Jesus. We celebrate the reality of the coming of God's gift of salvation. Jesus Christ is that gift. I think we often forget that. He is the Savior of humanity and all creation. Christ. Christ is the living example that we follow and imitate. Amen?
Amen?
If you're not on board with that, start getting on board. Because that's where you need to be. If you want the joy of the Lord, take it.
Amen.
He's given it to you.
Amen.
He knows it's hard work to do the other stuff, the mission. And so He wants you to know the joy also. Jesus told His disciples this, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." Well, how did Jesus give us His peace? Have you given that some thought? Have you dwelt on that verse for a little bit and kind of meditated? He gave it by His obedient action of sacrifice. He humbled Himself. He left glory. He left His place at the right hand of God to come down to earth and do what needed to be done to redeem humanity and creation. Quite a feat. Quite a feat. He was bringing God's forgiveness to us. How did He bring it? Through His self-sacrifice. There was no other way. He had to be the one. And Jesus prayed to God while on the cross. What did He say? "Father, forgive them." Who's the them? We are. Humanity is the them. Jesus wasn't just saying the words. No, He was in the act of sacrificing His life right then, providing the foundation for our forgiveness and redemption.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
It wasn't just talk. It was action, action, action.
Yes.
He did it for us. Scripture says this, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus provided the required death penalty as the price to redeem our eternal souls, our eternal life and glory. That's why He did it. He loved us enough to redeem us for eternity. Christ is God's pardon. Christ is God's redemption for us. That's why we should celebrate and have joy.
Yes.
Free at last! Free at last! Yes. Free from the penalty of sin.
Yes. Praise God.
Yes, praise God. That's what we should be doing at this time of year, and we do. He went on to say this, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's reminding us that perfect peace casts out fear. Perfect peace. What's perfect peace? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's following Him, trying your best to imitate Him, accepting His ways, losing yourself in His Word, and living a life honoring Him, honoring what He did for us, right? Jesus knew the forgiveness He attained for us in our place would also bring peace. You see, you can't have peace without His forgiveness. Peace follows forgiveness. Until then, you're seeking that peace. But you're not going to get it until you find Jesus and accept His payment for you to provide that peace for you. He wants peace. This is what God wants for all of us. He wants us to be at peace. And at peace Himself. Did you ever think of it that way? Oh, we're always focused on our peace. But what about God? Does He want peace? Well, you know He does. You know He does. He was willing to send His only begotten Son in the flesh to provide the sacrifice for us to have that peace. God wants it for us. And He wants it for Himself. And how do we get it? Through the work of Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for us. He paid the debt. He bought us back. He's the only way that's going to happen.
Amen.
There is no other way. I don't care what men say. They don't have the proof. They don't have the proof that there's another way. Because there is no other way.
Right.
Only through Jesus. Peace is what God wants. Peace is what God wants. That's the history of the Old Testament. The attempts of God to get us into a situation where we could be at peace with Him. And He could be at peace with us.
Amen.
He tried a lot of different things. He gave us every opportunity. He gave humanity every opportunity to have that peace. But we couldn't do it. Why couldn't we do it? You're living in it. Yes, it's called the flesh. It'll take you places you know you shouldn't be.
Amen.
And you have to be faithful to the Lord to keep that from happening. He wants peace for Himself and He wants peace with creation. God wants peace with creation. You know, He wants to enjoy creation just as much as we do. You ever think of it that way? Do you think He ever gets tired of coming in and taking care of business and getting us back where we ought to be? He doesn't. He doesn't think that way. But it sure makes me wonder sometimes. Peace is what God wants. He wants it for Himself. And He wants it with creation. Especially for humanity. We are at the top of creation. Yes, we are. And we need His peace, and He wants us to have it. He's not trying to hold it back. He's not being stingy with it. But we have to understand our part. We have to understand what He wants and what we need to do. God wants us to have peace with Him and other people. Yes, they are part of creation. Look around. We're all part of creation. He wants peace with us, and He wants us to have peace with Him, and He wants us to have peace with one another.
Amen.
That's the whole purpose of Jesus coming. He's bringing the sacrifice that will provide forgiveness, that will bring the peace that we so desperately need. Without Him, we can't get it. And we'll never be able to get it. Our personal peace comes only by accepting God's forgiveness in Christ. Let that sink in. That's the only way people will ever get personal peace. By accepting and then following Jesus Christ. That's what has to be done. Only by accepting God's forgiveness, and then, here's part two, forgiving others. You want peace with others? You got to forgive. You have to forgive. I don't care how bad the hurt was. If you're not going to forgive it, you're not going to have peace in that relationship. And I don't care if they live across the country and you don't see them hardly ever. In here, it's still there. And the only way you'll get rid of it, the only way you'll gain peace is to forgive them. And I'm not suggesting you call them up on the phone and bring back old hurts and say, hey, I want to forgive you for all that. No, that won't work. That doesn't work. It just reopens the wound. All you need to do is in here and in here, forgive them. Forgive them. Give them your forgiveness. They don't need to know. They'll find out. You'll get an opportunity. God will give it to you. But that opportunity won't be to brag about how you gave forgiveness. It'll be to say how God allowed you to be at peace by forgiving others. And don't even put them in the equation when you say it. Just say it. They'll figure it out, okay? How do I know they're going to figure it out? Holy Spirit's going to say, look, they're saying it in a generic, general way, but they're talking about you. They have peace with you because they've forgiven. How about you? Do you have peace with them because you've forgiven? Because it works both ways, doesn't it? Total peace comes when we commit completely to God's peace plan. What's God's peace plan? Jesus. Jesus is God's peace plan. He took it all away with His sacrifice. The problem is we want to hang on to it. I don't know why. But we do. Give it. What did Jesus say? Cast all your cares upon Me because I care for you. And I proved it by coming and giving Myself. We have no reason to doubt, do we? It's all plain. It's all simple. The hard part comes when we have to apply it to ourselves. Amen?
Amen?
Get busy. Start applying. You can do it. Trust me. We commit completely to God's peace plan and then His forgiveness for us through Christ takes effect, and our forgiving others through Christ can begin to take effect. It might take you a while. You might have to pray about it. Imagine that. You'll have to pray about forgiving somebody the hurt they did to you. But I'm telling you, what does forgiveness bring? Peace. Peace. You want peace in that situation? You got to give forgiveness. Now listen to what I'm going to say. Listen carefully. This is very important. Forgiving others. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. How did Jesus forgive you? No take backs. He forgave you. And He doesn't want you to... He doesn't take anything back. He doesn't bring up old things. No, when He forgives you, that's it. It's gone. Who brings it up? We do. Listen, you need to tell yourself, it's gone. And just because you run into that person at Publix doesn't mean you can drag it up again, right? Oh, now I remember. No, don't go down that road. Go down this road. Peace. I have peace. I've forgiven. I've had peace. I can actually go over and shake their hand and say, hi, how you doing? Hope things are going well. And then move on. Don't give the enemy the opportunity to bring up old hurts. Be in the joy of the moment and move on. And leave it that way. Amen? No take backs. Forgiving others that way. That's how you have to do it if you want to imitate Jesus. You have to forgive them with no reserve, no take backs. It's over. I'm done with that. Well, you're going to see them again. You're going to run into them. I was at Publix the other day and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and I turned around. Totally unexpected who it was going to be. But I didn't get upset. I didn't cast darts. No. I shook their hand and asked them how it was going. Hoped that they were doing well. Because that's peace to me. Amen. That's my peace. You know, if they still have a difficulty with it, and obviously they didn't because they were contacting me, okay, now I can go away in peace. I don't have to worry about it. That's what we need to do. Forgive them with no reservation, no take back. Can't do it. Now, here's the warning. That doesn't mean that you put up with abusive, negative words and treatment. That's not what peace is about. You don't have to put up with that. And so I'm telling you, you don't. You forgive and you move on. Okay? The bottom line is this. That if you are being physically, emotionally abused, you forgive and you find a safe, peaceful place of refuge.
Thank you.
Yes. Forgiving doesn't mean you have to put up with it. That's not what forgiving means. Forgiving means that you in your heart forgive what they're doing and you can move on and they have to figure out what they have to do. And hopefully they will. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will lead them into that place. So you forgive and you find a safe place to allow what? Your healing. You may have to do some healing over that. And that's okay. The Lord wants you to heal. But if you ever run into them, you just, how you doing? Hope you're doing well. Don't give the enemy any foothold in there. The Lord especially doesn't want marriages to end. He doesn't. He wants forgiveness and peace for all involved in the relationship so that the relationship may continue. But the same rule applies. You don't live putting up with abuse. That's not the plan. That's not God's plan. You may have to separate for a while, but that doesn't mean it's over.
Amen.
That just means you're separating for a while to give yourself the chance to heal and be able to show the love back. Amen. And that doesn't mean this first time you see them, you take them back. No, they have to show you they've done some healing too. Right? I told you there's going to be things here you could think about. And listen, you can apply this to every relationship. It's not just marriage. Every relationship. In some relationships, you might not be able to find that place of refuge. Employment is one area I'm thinking of. You may have to change jobs. That's what you have to do, if that's what the Lord's leading you to do. If you can't have peace after you've forgiven, then you can do it. That's what's going to have to happen. But just be aware of that. You are not a walking mud mat that they can wipe their feet on every time they come around you. You are a child of God, and He loves you, and He wants the best for you. So don't put up with that stuff. Peace only comes by one action. What is it? Forgiving. That's the only way you're ever going to have peace. This is what prompted the celebration we call Christmas. We're really celebrating forgiveness. The coming of Christ is the forgiveness of God. That's what it starts with. God's graphic demonstration of forgiveness began with Mary's conception and continued until Christ's ascension. That whole part of history is about God forgiving us. Oh, we celebrate a lot of different things, but that's really what it's about. God forgave us our sin by the life of Christ. God has offered His peace to all humanity and enabled us to make an informed decision. It's not a leap of faith. We have the evidence right here. It's all written out. Amen. We have the testimony of people who were there and walked with Jesus and heard everything He said, saw Him come back from the dead and rise back to glory. It's not a mystery. It's not a leap of faith. It's based on truth. It's the truth. It's an informed decision to accept His peace through the salvation that He provided. If you're starting to drift off, shake your head. Stand up. Pat yourself. I'm sorry, it's a long message. God provided the way for our forgiveness, our peace with Him. That's what Christmas is really about. He forgave us. Now we can have peace. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. That means humanity. That's God's goodwill. Not that only, but our goodwill as well. Because now we found peace with God, we can have peace with others. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the gift that we should be giving at Christmas time. Amen? God forgave us. God has offered His peace to all humanity and enabled us to make that informed decision to accept His peace through the salvation provided by Christ. I've already said that's the only way you're going to get it. That's the only way. You must humble yourself to the truth of Christ. He is the way, the only way. God provided the way for our forgiveness, our peace, through Christ, through the sacrifice, and through the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. That act was God's once, oh listen to this, once and for all act of forgiveness to bring peace to all humanity. He's not coming again as Savior. No one else is coming as Savior. It's done. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. My work of salvation is done. The only thing left to do is the work of justification. I'm going to come out of that grave. And then you're going to know the truth.
Amen.
That act was God's once for all act of forgiveness to bring His peace to all humanity. That final act began with the physical life of Christ. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be blood. The only blood that would be acceptable would be divine blood which came from God. That's why God had to come into the world. And He came so we could understand by saying, "This is my Son." We can understand how sons, how children come into the world, can't we? And so that helped us to understand what was happening. Forgiveness, listen, forgiveness is not gained, not ours, until we accept the forgiveness that God has offered us in Christ. And you're not going to realize the full impact of that until you start trying to live it. Oh, you're saved. I'm not putting that fear in you this morning. You're saved. You accept Jesus and what He did for you on the cross. You're saved. But if you want the full impact of what He did at Calvary, you have to start living it. That starts with forgiving others. You get peace with God when you accept what Jesus did for you. You get God's peace. You get peace with Him. And He gets peace with you. But if you want peace with others, you've got to start forgiving them. You'll get peace. But they'll only get peace if they do what? Accept your forgiveness for them. Isn't that how we got peace from God? We accepted it and began to live it. That's how we got it. When we accept God's gift of forgiveness through Christ, He also gives us His peace. Our part is to maintain that peace. How do we maintain the peace? We get into the Scripture. We fellowship with one another. We pray. We worship. We sing praises. All of those things are helping us maintain our peace, because they're helping us maintain our fellowship with God. Amen. He is the peace. Walk in the Holy Spirit. All those things I just named, that's walking in the Spirit. And when you are tempted, you deny that temptation by calling on the Lord. Help me, Jesus. You know, calling on the Lord isn't a one-time thing. I don't know why people think that. Oh, I called on the Lord. I got saved. Oh, really? That was the end of it? You don't need any other help? Keep calling. Keep calling. Keep calling. I know we need to. Nothing we can offer God will bring His peace to us. We have nothing to offer. We are dead sinners. We don't get life until we receive the forgiveness Christ offers to us. Jesus gave Himself to satisfy the need for our redemption and the peace between us and God that we so desperately need. We don't even realize how important it is, how desperate we are in our situation. There is an eternity without Christ. And that alone should prompt us to tell people, you know, there is one who loves you so much, He died for you. We need to get busy. Jesus gave Himself to satisfy the need for our redemption and peace between us and God. He did not want us to try to give what we could not give. It's a total waste of time. We can't give anything to purchase God's forgiveness and peace. We have nothing. We can't give peace to God. We cannot even earn peace from God. That's a total fallacy. You can't earn peace with God. You just have to accept His peace.
Amen.
He provides it through the sacrifice, the life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God's requirement is for us to trust what He has already done through Jesus Christ. Then we keep building on that. We get saved and we keep getting saved over and over again through building on that. Peace with God by God's forgiveness is only gained through one's saving faith in the work of Christ at Calvary. It's trusting Him. That's what we call it, trusting Him. And you know what? The idea of trusting Him and having faith, it's not original with you. You didn't think that up. You didn't decide to do it. The Holy Spirit prompted you. Hey, have you thought about Jesus lately? Have you thought about what He's done for you? Do you think you need that kind of help? God prompts us to find out and get with the program. Have you thought of this? God also wanted peace with humanity. He wanted peace. He is a person. Oh, He's not a person like us, but He is a person. He has the attributes of being a person. And He wants peace with all of us and His creation. And He has peace with humanity through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It didn't just bring peace to us. It brought peace to God. The conflict is finished in His eyes. The remedy has been applied. It's there for you to accept it. And then the battle's over for you. And that's what He wants. Christ makes it possible for us to connect with God. He also makes it possible for God to connect with us. We are separated from God by sin until we make that good confession. It's only then that the blood's applied and the Holy Spirit comes in and starts changing us. He also makes it possible for us to connect with Him and then to connect with others. God makes it all possible. Please turn to Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians 1:10. Just dawned on me why a lot of preachers use a lot of scripture. It gives you something to do and keep you awake. I'm sorry again, but this is the way it is this morning. Colossians 1:10. While you're turning there, let me just say we can have peace with God only through personally receiving God's action of forgiveness by trusting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ made for us. You must trust Jesus to receive God's forgiveness. He is the only way. That's how your eternal life with Christ begins. By asking Him to save you. You know who you are and you say, I'm a sinner. I need You to save me. Obeying Christ, serving Him, you trusted God for His forgiveness, which brought peace. And then you start walking in the Holy Spirit, which continues that peace. When you get out of step with the Holy Spirit, then your peace falls by the wayside. And then the Holy Spirit works to get you back so that peace can be restored. That's really the way it works. And you do that through obeying God through the Scripture. You know, how do you get the idea? Some people say, oh, I heard from God. And He told me to do this. Well, how'd that happen? Well, I don't know. I just heard from God. And And I felt like I needed to do this. Well, I'll tell you how you hear from God. You read this. And then God brings that to your memory. And because we are who we are, we think we came up with the idea. No, He came up with the idea. So we obey Him to build strength and trust in our Christian walk. Trust Him and we'll be strong in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Have to do it. Colossians 1:10. I end with this. Ryan, you can come forward if you don't mind. Walk worthy of the Lord. That's where I'm going to start in that verse. Verse 10. Walk worthy of the Lord. You are a child of God now if you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior. Walk worthy of that obligation. You made it. And if you're wondering how you do that, ask God. He'll tell you. Ask God and start reading the Scripture. Start in 1 John chapter 1. Not the Gospel of John. No, go way back to the back of the Bible and find 1 John. It tells you about the love of God. You'll need to experience that to hang on to the rest of it. Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, there's some tall orders, aren't they? Can't do it without God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. It's a little bit more than ours, isn't it? His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. You know what the long-suffering is? This life on earth.
Amen.
That's our long-suffering. It gets better when we're more obedient. It gets worse when we're less obedient. It gets better when we walk with the Holy Spirit. It gets harder when we don't walk with the Spirit.
Amen.
When we think we can do it, then we have trouble. Always ask the Holy Spirit to be there leading you. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering with
joy.
There's the joy. Forgiveness, peace, love, joy. That's what Christmas should be all about. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The light of Jesus Christ. God's light. He, God, through Jesus, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Don't go back. Don't look back. Just keep moving forward, the Lord.
Amen.
You don't need to look back. Keep moving forward in the light. Conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption. We've been bought back by the love of God, Jesus Christ. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. I'm saying that's what Christmas should be all about. You can't outgive the Lord. You can't outgive God. But if you want to get close, start forgiving. Start forgiving. That'll bring you back closer to God. Because you're going to need all His strength and all His power to do it.
Amen.
But trust Him. He'll help you do it. If you don't know the Lord, if you haven't accepted His forgiveness, If you haven't been born again, if you haven't been saved, all those terms that mean you've accepted what Christ did for you, the gift of forgiveness He gave through His blood and body. If you haven't done that, you won't be able to do the other things we've mentioned today. So you need to do that first. You need to do that now. You're among friends. You're among believers. We'll pray for you. We'll help you any way we can. Do it today. And then start forgiving. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, help us. Help us to humble ourselves to Your plan, the plan of forgiveness. You forgave us through Christ so that we could start forgiving others. Lord, help us to continue that plan and fulfill it. Fulfill it to the point where You want us to fulfill it. Lead us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.